Welcome to Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnis, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
And today we are joined by comedians and now authors, Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. I got to tell you, I think you slipped into a Southern accent a little bit when you were doing the top of the show. You sort of sounded like it was like an 18-wheeler truck handle. You were like, what's going on? It's Matt. Now I'm back home. Are we rubbing off on you immediately?
Guilty by association.
Yeah. Anybody, if you start talking real fast, it's like it just creeps in or something like that. Our accent does. Like you start talking real fast or, you know, get strung out on pills. Either way, it goes in the opposite direction too. Talking real fast or talking real slow somebody way down and you'll start hearing, you know, Southern sound and shit.
I actually got a little bit of that. It's not quite Southern, but my dad was an Okie. Okay. And he's from, of course, large family, 9 brothers and sisters. And so they all still to this day, they all live up here, but they talk like that. So right. It actually brings up to the first part of the book I wanted to talk about was your Southern bingo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. Me and Brandon were going over it. He grew up in the same town that I'm in now. And we could literally drive down any street and get 4 bingos off that board.
Yeah, man. I got a buddy that lives in rural Washington. And when we met, I was 21. So we're talking like 16, 17 years ago or whatever. I'd never been out of the South. And we were working at Yellowstone. And I saw this. Everybody in there except me and this guy are these crunchy granola hippies, which there's nothing wrong with being that. It's just that we're not going to have anything alike. And across the room, I saw this guy wearing a John Deere hat. I was wearing a John Deere hat. So I was like, oh my God, this guy's from the South. I go up to him. I was like, hey man, I'm Corey. He's like, oh, hey, my name's Jesse. And he sounded like a Canadian. I was like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, I'm from Washington State. And that's when it sort of clicked with me that like, oh, North and South don't mean anything. It's rural versus city. Cause yes. I've got more in common with this guy who lives 25 hours away than I do anyone that lives in Atlanta.
Do you remember what part of Washington he was from?
He said it to me a million times, but no, I can't remember. I'm a bad friend.
Because we definitely have our parts, both east and west. And I don't know if you guys, I noticed in your book there wasn't a separation, right? Maybe now Trey was mentioning he's going to be in Spokane doing comedy. So maybe when you're on that east side, you'll have a new chapter for book 2 and see how much difference it is.
Yeah, I've been to Spokane. Been to Spokane before. I dig Spokane. The first time we went there, we were in Seattle the next night. We drove from Spokane to Seattle. And that's like, that was an illuminating drive because that was in like late 2016 or something. We started seeing like all these Trump signs, you know, all these like, you know, big trucks, little like diners in the middle of nowhere and stuff that was just, you know, seemed red as hell and that type of shit. And then that was early in the tour, the first of the tour, you know, 7 years ago. And then as we kept touring and going to other states, that happened repeatedly. If you drive across almost any state in this country, you'll get, you know, you'll have a similar experience. Even like California, you drive San Francisco to LA, you see a lot of the same type of shit, you know.
He's from Arlington, by the way.
Arlington, okay. So about 2 hours north of here.
He says it's the greatest small town in the West. That's Jesse there.
Nice. I don't know if I agree with that, but we'll let it go.
He's a bull rider. Don't say that shit to him.
Brandon's a safety guy and did a lot of construction jobs up there for safety stuff. And having to drive that every day. So
that explains that they're bull riders.
So that was actually one of the things I was going to ask. So all this book, is this all road tripping?
Yeah, well, it's like, I mean, we're comedians. We toured together for a long time. So it's like, it's more like comedy touring, basically, which, you know, took us around. The third part of the book, the part about the UK, we went there like just for the book. Like we just took a trip there for those purposes. Everywhere else we like, you know, go to anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pretty regularly.
Well, but like, were you flying in and just getting a rental car and going to whatever major city it was in that state you were performing at? Or like you said, you were in Spokane, but the next night you were in Seattle, so you drove across the whole
state. Oh, there's plenty of those times, especially early on in the tour when like we were doing like Tuesday through or Sunday, like doing shows every night. And basically, yeah, we would like they would route it, sometimes not good, but, you know, often like, hey, you're in this city, and then you'll get the rental car. And for the next 6 days, you're driving all the way across the state to do this, this, this. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of these like little smaller towns and places that we saw because they were a, you know, I guess like a flyover type situation, you know?
Yeah, I'm doing that tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, I'm flying to Toledo, Ohio. And then over the next 5 days after that, I go Toledo to Dayton to Cincinnati to Columbus to Cleveland, you know, Wednesday to Sunday. So yeah, I'll fly in, rent a car, and then, well, actually my buddy who's opening for me is from Ohio. He's got a car, but we'll drive, you know, drive city to city every day and do it that way.
So I guess
with
that, I consider, I consider you guys like big comedians, right? 2020 was the real introduction to you guys. All of a sudden my YouTube feed, when we were on lockdown and the crazy shit going on, was you two. Brett Terhune was the other guy that continually popped up. And it, well, one, it told me that whatever I was watching on something else was leading me in the direction I wanted to go to. But you said working Tuesday through Sunday. Now, just my experience in comedy is Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursdays, are like bar shows and just dive shitholes. Is that what it was like?
Now, don't get me wrong. Early on in our career, hell yeah. I mean, we exclusively played shithole bars, but those would be like, we were doing like smaller theaters. You know what I mean? And some places did, like, there were some clubs who gave us their off night. Like, we were selling tickets well, and the club was like,
yeah,
if y'all's people will come on a Tuesday, hell yeah, you can do the show or whatever. Our servers will get an extra pay. So no, we were very like that. We've been very fortunate in our together career, you know, to like not have to do that as much anymore. There was a couple early on, like, but I'm not shitting on it. Like, we did a place called remember the Lipstick Lounge in Nashville?
Yeah, of course. Lesbian bar.
That was like the only, and in Johnson City, that was sort of divey.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, when I say we've been really lucky, we are not disparaging bars and shitty dive places. They're wonderful. We cut our teeth in them, but no, it was more like little theaters and clubs.
Well, we're 12 years in, and like, we're still doing shitty bars, so I get it.
Yeah,
right. Well, so like tomorrow, you know, the next five nights, those are all, for me, those are Funny Bones then in those various cities, except for Cleveland, which is Hilarities. And I love the Funny Bones. Hilarities is an awesome club too. But like, so I'm in these places, I'll come in and do a one-nighter at a club and then go to the next place, you know, because I can like, generally, hopefully, you know, I can fill it up on a one nighter, whether it's a Wednesday or whatever, you know. Whereas if I was there for a whole weekend, you know what I mean? Like, some of the shows might be light, that's paper the room or whatever. So it just depends on the market and whatnot. You do a little bit of all of it, but generally, mostly clubs or like small theaters, not really like bars and breweries anymore.
Okay.
Right now.
I was just curious, like in the start of your tour on this book, if right doing a Tuesday night show, like Brandon can right Tuesday nights we're in a bar,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
it's
and I don't know, you guys obviously tour way more than either one of us have ever done, but do you guys see the bar scene being comedy driven still in every city you go to? Like,
in the major, especially in major cities, like, you know, Denver has a wonderful comedy scene, and it doesn't just mean the clubs. Like, they do have like really good one-off shows in bars. And of course, that's the same case for any major city, like your Atlanta, same thing. They've got a couple wonderful clubs, but they also, like, every single night in Atlanta, you can go see a comedy show at a bar. And that's where, I mean, there's so many comedians now that everyone can't cut their teeth at the club because there's not enough room. So, like, the bar scenes are still thriving, baby.
Nice.
And so I found some good ones down in Houston. I've, if you guys don't know, I just literally, like, 2 weeks ago moved to Houston. That's why I'm in an Airbnb now. I just signed for my new house, like, 2 hours ago.
Congrats.
Thanks. But that's one thing I found in Houston. Like, you know, talk about doing bar shows. I did a bar show Thursday. It was me and the host, and that's all that showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, been there. I did a casino one time and I say casino lightly because that's what they call it, but it's really a gaming room. You know, mm-hmm. It's just all digital bullshit. And it was I was doing one night here, and then I was going somewhere else, and they're like, hey, by the way, they're going to pay you extra money if just on your way you'll swing through this casino and do a show. And I was like, okay, whatever. Get there. It was me and the bartender, and that's all it was. And so the guy that booked it came up to me, and he's like, yeah, we'll start in like 5 minutes. There's nobody in there, right? Not a soul. And I'm looking at him like, right. I mean, but I'm going to wait till somebody gets here first. And he's like, no, 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 no. It doesn't matter if anybody's in here. You have to get on that stage and do your act. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me, though. He goes, listen, all this is a fucking tax write-off, okay?
Yeah.
One of the higher-ups, if he walks by, they have to see that we're doing this. We have to justify this. So I got on stage and literally just monotoned my act for no, I mean, literally not, the bartender was cleaning glasses. He wasn't even paying attention. So just me, empty room, doing my show.
Sounds the, like
those,
my,
oh, those could ahead. Be learning ones, though.
Sounds like my first club weekend. I was featuring for a guy, and show the 10:30 show on a Saturday night was Brandon, his wife, my wife, and two people. And they're like, you got to go. And I'm like, how much am I still doing my normal 30 minutes? And they're like, take 45 if you want. You got the crowd for it.
Sure.
You brought all the people.
Right.
So
I wasn't there to see you. I was there to see Brad, just saying.
So touring together. I'm really curious because he brought up a guy named, do you guys know a gentleman named Brad Brake?
I don't think I've.
You brought up Funny Bone Trey, and he used to tour Funny Bone. Sadly, he took his own life here a couple years ago, but he was huge in like on what was it, SCTV in Canada and things like that.
Okay.
But I'm curious with you guys traveling together all the time.
If we thought about killing ourselves.
Well, no, we're all comedians.
Or each other.
That's happened. I want to create like crazy road stories in the car together, just something insane.
Oh God, man. I mean, you know, there's millions, and they all range in various forms of tragic and sad and happy. Like one specifically, that's not like the, I think a lot of people think like when you're comedians or you're rock stars or whatever, and you're selling out places, they're like, oh, it's glamorous. But like, there's been more times where me and Trey were just like blackout drunk in the back of the car, like having to eat mashed potatoes with our hands because KFC didn't give us any, you know, forks. Like that's more our speed of, you know, road stuff.
More sadness. Yeah. Generally, I can't remember if we started recording or not. No. Yeah. It was just earlier you asked about like bar shows early on, and Corey mentioned Johnson City early on. It was like a rock club, like standing room only, just, and Johnson City's in East Tennessee, which is hillbilly country. Correct. I believe that's right. Yes. It's weird. I just brought this up just the other day when I was on Sirius doing a thing. Other than that, I hadn't thought about it in years. But anyway, to date, I think the most redneck show we've ever had. And like I said, because East Tennessee is just, it's like that. And there was like, I'm not making this up, I swear to God, there was literally a barefoot pregnant woman at the show. And it was just red as hell, you know, mamaw's on pills and all this shit. And then we used
to do
it.
Was she smoking and drinking a beer?
I mean, I want to say, yes, for the story, yeah, yes. Yeah. Just imagine she was. That still flies in East Tennessee. But we used to close the show with a Q&A back then. And so we were on stage for the Q&A part, and this dude materialized from the back and just like walked with very sincere purpose up to the stage silently, went up to the very front stage and like reached in his jacket and pulled this silver object out. He rolled a silver cylinder onto the stage, like without saying anything. And it like rolls right under my stool and comes to a stop. And we all like freak out and like jump and scream and all this stuff because
we've been getting death threats and stuff from our like material, you know?
Yeah, right. And like, yeah, exactly. And this was early on, and I get horrible internet messages. I mean, I still do, but I was new to it all back then. And this was very early on. So like, I thought it was some kind of grenade or explosive or whatever. And it just sat there. Like we all screamed, the crowd's like, what the fuck? Everybody like jumps back. And then everybody sort of settles down because nothing happens. And everybody's just looking at it, and it just sits there. And then the guy's like, open it up. You know, we're like, what? He's like, open it up. You pick it up, and it's got one of those like pull tops on it. You pull it off, and it's a Beanie Weenies, right? Which is, you know, that's,
yep.
Yeah, you know, beans with hot beanies and weenies in it. Anyway, mm-hmm. it's a white trash staple for sure. But he was just like, I thought y'all might want some beans. We're like, oh, okay, sure. And about then we ate the beans, yeah, as a sign of respect or whatever on stage, and then closed it out. There was another time this we were in Florida, and it was, I don't know if you, how much you remember this, Corey, but like,
is it the night that some of my family was there and we had that heckler?
No, it was the show this night was like totally fine, but afterwards, like, we went to like a super white trash bar where the band was playing like, you know, screamy metal music. It was like, yeah, there at least three or four juggalos around kind of vibe, you know what I mean? Like that kind of bar. And we end up at you remember when we went to that house and like,
oh, the meth shit.
It was like meth and or coke or whatever drugs, yeah, situation. We were with some people that worked at the club. It's like, oh, they're doing drugs at this house. We get there and it's like, we never could really figure it out. I don't know how to like describe it accurately, but it very much seemed like none of these people like owned this house. Like, right, this was just like
a drug hangout,
an empty house or a house that was for sale or something. And they like, you know, they broke into it to do drugs or whatever, but it had electricity and shit. And they turned, like, we go there thinking it's just someone's house. And then eventually we're all kind of looking at each other like, are we like trespassing and squatting, yeah, and while doing coke right now and shit? And the guy that had all the drugs, you know, seemed like a bad guy from a Fast and Furious movie, or whatever.
He kind of looked like DJ Khaled, didn't he? If I remember.
Sort of, yeah. Right, yeah. And he was like, he was being nice, but also in a way, it's like, I know this guy would stab me. And yeah, also, the other guy that toured with us, while all that was happening, the two other people from the club, a lady was there from the club who had, her husband had come to join us, and her husband was a vet, like
military,
like an Iraq war vet with like a 1,000-yard stare and like silent type, like, you know, kind of scary. And he started trying to get our other buddy Drew to fuck his wife in front of him, right? And and Drew's honestly normally the kind of guy that totally go for that, but
sure,
especially if his own wife is involved. But like, you know, in this case, he was like, oh, I'm good. Thank you, though, man. I appreciate it. You know, he turned into like a polite white guy with a swinging proposition. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, no, thank you. You know what? I'm good. I appreciate it. I'm trying to cut back. Anyway, we all survived. Nothing ended up happening, but the vibes were pretty wild and Florida-y that night. Like, there were times where I was like, this shit.
I was scared. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it got kind of like.
And I love points. We've done some stupid shit in our lives, but I was terrified because I remember one of the reasons that Drew didn't want to take him up on that proposition was because the vibe that we were kind of all getting was, this is his fantasy, but at the end of it, he beats the shit out of Drew. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to play it all the way out to the end. So, yeah, that's some good meth, though,
I kind of pictured the movie, what is it, Harold and Kumar, where they break down, the guy takes him to fix their tire, and he's like, you won't fuck my wife?
It felt a lot like that. It really did.
Yeah. Huh. It's just, and that's Florida for you, buddy. Well, it's like Florida's always doing some Florida shit.
Oh, yeah.
Florida man is legion.
I've never been to Florida, but Florida man is real, huh?
I've been a few times. I'm supposed to go again in February, but yeah, I've been there a few times. Florida man is definitely real.
Bro, mm-hmm. and we talk about this in our book, obviously, around here and over yonder, but like, Florida is as advertised, all of it, like the crazy part, yes, but then also it's like how Key West is advertised, it's also like that. But like, there's no, like, when we think about like, oh, the stereotypes of Florida, but you know, are they really that? Fuck yes, like, they're all that, good or bad.
Well, I was telling Corey before Trey popped on that's what I did in your book, because I was popping through places I had been to before, and your stereotypes in the book are, I mean, they're hardly even exaggerated. Right, as comedians, we always exaggerate the truth to get that extra laugh, mm-hmm. right? You don't necessarily lie, you just exaggerate a little bit. Reading that Seattle one, there's not exaggeration one in the thing.
That makes me so happy, because me and Trey both were worried about, like, you know, this is obviously coming from our perspective, and your opinion of a place can't be wrong. It's just, but it's, we were worried about the people who were from there or near there and been a lot, being like, this ain't it, but like, so that means a lot. And so far I've had a lot of messages today, because our books just dropped, of people that they're like, I popped to my place first and you fucking mm-hmm. nailed it. So like, could not be happier with that.
I couldn't have ripped the book faster out of the package to see what was said about Seattle. I just because I like I said, I'm 26 miles away. We stopped going to the city for a lot of the things that are in, you know, there's just part, there's the gorgeous touristy parts you guys talk about, your Pike Place markets and, you know, that type of stuff. And then there's them parts that you don't want to be around. And I mean, it was nailed 100%. I literally handed the book to the wife and she, these guys live here?
he sent me the, because you know obviously I'm not there with him, but he sent me a picture of the Seattle like bingo and I'm like, oh yeah, I can pretty much cross all this off. So the naked person, that's one that me and Matt, I've told him the story many times, driving through downtown Seattle and accidentally made eye contact with a man pooping on the sidewalk. So
that's an intimate
never
moment.
Felt more dirty.
I'm a sales rep for a sugar water company. And before, I've always been indoors working. Now I travel store to store type deal. I've seen more penis on this job in and out around Seattle on almost a weekly basis. I'm calling my boss going, I'm not sure this is safe. There's too many dicks around. And they're like, oh, the people are mean? I'm like, no, they just have them whipped out. Like, we can't.
Being or just airing it out?
I've seen masturbation. I've seen helicoptering, walking down the street. I've seen, you know, just exposing, peeing, you know, just you name it. Any way that you can get it out of your pants, I've probably seen the reason for it.
That particular brand of pervert has always baffled me because, like, I understand the pervert that, like, you know, loves, you know, hitting on women and is always trying to get some ass. But maybe there's, like, I get that. I don't understand the dude who just, like, with no end game, will just whip his dick out and show people on the bus and then run away. Like, I don't get it.
I don't get that one either.
Like, does he think someone's going to see it and go, oh, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Then when they don't, he just leaves.
And I'm sure I'm wrong, but I don't know if there's ever been a woman on the face of the planet just seen a penis and goes, I don't care what kind of asshole that is. That's mine.
Right. I don't think that's what they're going for personally. I think, like, the scream, you know, that results, I think that's probably what they're going for. You know, I don't think they're expecting, like, a success rate in terms of, like, ooh, that's nice. You know, they want the fucking...
They want it at the end where it's nice, right? But,
And some people just like to be nude. I mean, there was the whole thing in Seattle not too long ago when I was still there where they had a case of someone who basically went out and was directing traffic in the middle of the street, butt naked. My big question was, did they have a ping pong paddle and, like, you know, a snorkel?
Even wearing an orange vest.
Nope. Just
that's not naked. Safe. You're the safety guy. You should know. You should have brought him. You should have got him a vest. Took it out there. This intersection. Yeah. I wonder if he was just doing a public service, like he just happened to be naked because, you know, he likes to be naked. And then he was like, somebody needs to do something about that traffic. I'm like, where are they?
And that was my question. I mean, but was he doing a good job?
Yeah, right.
Was he at least doing good? I mean,
like the cops show up, their magazine's naked. And he's like, I'm mad because you're not doing your fucking job. Will you see this traffic? Get somebody down here.
I wanted him to
start siding with him.
You know, that's funny. Oh, man. You brought up beanies and weenies a while ago. Cheyenne, you bring up another white trash staple. You remember Cheyenne?
Oh, yeah. Cheyenne was wonderful. What
bologna
was the what,
bologna and mustard.
That's right.
I think you brought it up earlier, right? Rural and city. It's not north and south.
No.
Because we grew up with, that's what, you know, if it wasn't cow tongue sandwiches, because that was the last meat in the freezer, it was bologna. You know?
Yeah, man. And when I lived in Wyoming very briefly. And yeah, man, like me and my buddy would go to the bars and like, there's some subtle differences, obviously, but like a lot of stuff they do up there that I'm like, I wish the South did that. Like, you know, their bars are, you know, super dingy and stuff, which hits, there's literal cowboys walking around. Like they've got real cowboys. We've got, you know, Jason Aldean cowboys. They got real ass cowboys. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my favorite things in Wyoming was there's a couple towns that this happened in. I think Silver Dollar was one of them. And we went to a bar, and because of my accent, everywhere we went, as soon as I ordered a drink, everyone wanted to talk to me because I clearly wasn't from there and I sounded funny and all that stuff. And usually somebody or the bartender would end up buying me a drink. Well, how they do it in lots of places in Wyoming is, you know, in New York, they turn the shot glass over and it's like, that's your cash that in. That's your beer. In Wyoming, they give you a literal wooden buffalo nickel, right? And they pass it over and they're like, hey, there you go. Next one's on me or whatever. And I remember we were at this one place and the bartender did that, slid it over to me. And he's like, hey, the next one's on me. And I was like, oh man, we're leaving right after this drink to go to this other bar to meet somebody. And he goes, oh, we'll just take it over there. It'll work. Like, they've just got a buddy system. Like, if a bartender buys you a drink at one bar, it's good at the other bar down the street.
That's awesome. I've never been. My mom and dad, they planned on retiring there before my dad passed away, but they were traveling down there 4 or 5 times a year and swore up and down by it. You know, they went to Cheyenne, and Cody was the other place that they were looking to buy property out there.
Dude, Cody's the shit, man. You get Wild Bill's daughter, Irma, had a hotel there, and it's still active, and it's some of the best skillet potatoes I've ever had in my life. Tremendous.
Yeah. So with your accent, this was something I was thinking about. Do you still get people to expect you to be one way due to your guys' accent? And then you talk about the left-leaning comedy you guys do, and they're shocked and hate you for it? Not just hate, like the hate mail you were talking about, but somebody who thought they were coming to see a Southern comedian.
I mean, not really. Thankfully, you know, grateful for this, but like, as far as the people that come to the shows, it's generally people who know what they're getting into. You know, they've seen the internet stuff or whatever. They know what the ticket is for and what it's about. That, and also people who are drugged there by those people, right? So a lot of there will be like conservatives at the show because they're married to a liberal or something, but like that, they know what the deal is, you
and
know,
they have
but
a blast. Like,
yeah, usually. It's usually some version of like, you know, I don't agree with everything you said, but I do think you're funny, though, which is like, you know, that's all a man can ask for. But like, I live in Southern California, and like, I definitely, well, first of all, I know I'm all over the place. We did a whole sketch for Comedy Central about how like we'd be in bars in various cities outside the South, and like people hear this accent, and it's like a green light for racism and that type of shit. Do you know what I mean? It's like, they're like, oh, this guy will love this shit. You know what I mean? I've been waiting to bust this, you know, racist joke out for weeks. I finally got an audience. I know this guy will like it. Like, it just seems like that happens all the time. That just happened to me in Denver recently. And like out here though, in LA, people hear my accent, ask where I'm from. I say Tennessee. A lot of times, if they get like excited and they're all like positive about it, like, oh, I love Tennessee, or I'd like to move to Tennessee, or whatever, that type of thing, like, then I know that like some real conservative shit is coming down the pike after that. You know what I mean? If they're kind of just like, oh, Tennessee, like if they're like, I don't know about Tennessee, or they're weird about it, then it's like they're a regular Californian. But if they're like, oh, Tennessee rules, I'd love to go to Tennessee, I'm like, okay, so you're like one of the lunatics out here.
Because like, they want an AR-15.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, the regular Californians are like, you know, afraid of Tennessee or whatever, other than like Nashville for a bachelorette party or something. So like, you still run into like the obvious perceptions with the accent, you know, pretty regularly, but not with like audience members specifically, though.
Okay. Yeah, I was just, because I see clips all the time. Steve Hostetler, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, who he is. But you'll see clips of his where he'll talk to the audience and be like, oh, you didn't know where you were coming tonight. And they're like, no, they just told me a comedy show. And he's like, well, fucking buckle up, because here we go. Because he does a lot of political comedy, too.
So, yeah, I mean, I get it in a sort of a different way. We both do. But like, I've noticed this will happen to me sometimes, is like, I will post an internet video, and, you know, me and Trey are both like, we look redneck from a mile away. You know what I mean? Trey, me probably more than Trey, because Trey's actually cleaned up a little bit.
That's you're definitely you more. I mean, dude, yeah. I got glasses. The glasses, yeah, right. The glasses and the hair, like, you know, throws people off for sure. But as soon as I open my mouth, you know, it's even more confusing for
me. Yeah, I've got a shitty beard and mustache, and I always wear a trucker hat. So like, I just, everybody knows when they see me, they're like, this is a redneck about to say some stuff. And I'll have like, I'll make a video and I'll post like, I don't know, hypothetically, thoughts on Nancy Pelosi. It doesn't matter, whatever. And I will see like super liberal people retweet it, clearly haven't watched the video. Like, they quote tweet it and they'll be like, this fucking redneck MAGA Trump scum. And they'll share it. And then every time somebody will be in the comments, they'll be like, did you actually watch the video? And they're like, wait, no. Oh, shit, I need to delete this. Like, they didn't even listen. They just saw me about to say a thing. And they're like, this guy's going to be a racist dipshit, which really, I mean, it kind of helps. You get a lot of engagement on those videos. So I'm not going to say it's not nice.
So they basically trump it.
Yeah.
Like, when he retweets something he thinks is not making fun of him. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
God. That shit bothers the hell out. Like, the headline readers piss me off.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I can only stand 7 words at a time. I'm not smart enough for the paragraphs inside, but those 7 right. words I'm going to base judgment on.
Well, I mean, dude, I'll definitely, you know, I'll look through headlines and stuff, especially when it comes to sports and that type of shit. But what I won't do is go to the comments and put down a whole, you know, dissertation, you know, in terms of my thoughts on the headline, like without I can't. People that do that are so wild. I would never do that.
Yeah.
Like I would, like if I was, first of all, I wouldn't do that anyway. But if I was going to, like, I would make damn sure that, you know, the article actually said what I was saying that it said or whatever. But people do that all the time.
All the time. But like, and right. And with our videos too. Like I have this character that I created, and his name is Gerrymander, and he consistently runs for Congress in the state of Georgia. And I genuinely thought, I don't know why I would have ever thought this. I was like, okay, the fact that it's called Gerrymander will be enough of a tell on its own that this is satire. And then I make the political ads, and I know that political people do say some insane things. And I know that people are like, you really can't tell the difference anymore. But like, I'll have jokes in there. Like if I'm elected congressman, I will make it to where you can have teeny tiny headphones that you put on your baby while they're still in the womb, so they can listen to the Ben Shapiro podcast. And people will hear that and be like, this fucking piece of shit. Everybody in Georgia's got to vote against this guy. And they're being fucking serious.
It's because the most of those people that are doing that to you in that scenario is because they genuinely do not believe that there is any upper limit to like Southern stupidity.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's not, like, you can't be overtly stupid enough to make them understand, like, oh, this isn't real. It's like anything you say, no matter how dumb it is, they'd be like, yep, that's, you know, that seems right. They totally would do that, they think. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them.
So were you guys, when you came into comedy, back to the old shitty bar shows and stuff, were you guys always political comics, or?
Oh, I was in the Klan before we started doing comedy. I'm kidding. Now, here, I'll answer mine first, in that I always would, like, I have plenty of jokes even now that aren't political at all, but like I had a different point of view than people in the South. And also a lot of it too was like, every comedian wants to be contrarian. And then I already believed these things. So like, it was fun for me to one of my first, like, I guess, super political jokes I wrote when I was like 18 or whatever. And it was, this is when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was like a real thing. Like, gay people shouldn't be in the military. And I was like, I do comedy in a Southern place. I'm going to fucking figure out how to support gays in the military and make conservatives laugh at it. And I did, right? And we were like always doing shit like that. Like we weren't ever doing like rip from the headlines Bill Maher shit,
right.
but yeah, it was, you know, again, I can't argue that there for a while it was like way more political because like the 2016 election was going on, but like, yeah, we've pretty much always talked about real shit. It's just that I didn't consider that being a political comedian until like we were told we were.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same for me. It's like you said, my personal favorite comedians were always the ones that like talked about real stuff, you know, like societal stuff. You know, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, all those guys, you know, they always talked about like real shit that was going on. And so I always like tried to too. And like Corey said, I was coming up in the South. And so it was like, you know, you want to push buttons, whatever. So I had all kinds of like, you know, anti-Confederacy, anti-Confederate flag, anti-Bible, pro-gay, anti-racism, all like that type of shit. Like, just like I said, trying to push buttons or whatever. And what's been tough for me kind of is like that I've always done that type of thing. Like the liberal redneck videos that I make that people like know me for, those originally came from a bit that I did on stage. It was pretty much the same concept, right? I just like say super liberal shit in a super redneck fashion. Like I was doing that on stage and it like worked. It's like I always did this same type of stuff, but coming up in the South 10, 12 years ago, that shit was like, edgy and ballsy and that type of thing. You know what I mean? Like other comics come up and be like, I don't know how you got away with that shit in front of this crowd or whatever, like that type of thing. But now it's like, it seems like pandery or something sometimes.
Right.
You got your own like following or whatever. And so many other comics are like going the other way now and whatnot.
Right.
It's like being woke is, it's funny because it's like, because I still have that thing of like having come up in the South. I'm like, wait a minute, like, fuck Jesus, kill babies is gay? Like that, like, you know what I mean? Like, That shit is like, the whole thing is just weird to me. But anyway, like Corey said, I never considered myself a political comedian either. I would have, if you asked me back then, I would have said, I'm more of a social commentary, social commentary, which is what I considered those other comics to be doing, not like straight up political shit. But yeah, it was always there. And now today, in my act on the road in front of my liberal ass fans and stuff, I have that type of thing. And I also have I have bits about my kids, bits about being white trash, bits about Salina where I grew up, my parent, my dad, my mom, whatever, you name it, all that type of shit too. It has no political element to it at all. And it's kind of always been that way.
I tried doing current events when I first started going to, just your normal, open mics. And I just don't think I was believable. So I went to just my life, right. I figured I'd live a crazy life, but you guys it's believable coming from you guys.
Well, current events thing too, I mean, most comics know that shit's got a shelf life. That's the other reason why most comics just naturally don't do it. And I didn't either. Like, I wasn't going to write a bit about some news story in 2013 or something, because in 2 or 3 months it'd be worthless to me. And especially back then, trying to build an act or whatever. So, yeah, ripped from the headline. Now on tour, if I've got something for it, I'll do something like that up top at a show. If something just happened, I'll talk about it up top, maybe try to film it, turn it into a clip, put it out or something, and then never say it again, But as far as material that I keep around, it's evergreen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even if it does have to do with whatever social shit, cultural shit, political shit, whatever.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing is there is some political things and civil rights things that are evergreen. They're just always
right.
When I did that Don't Ask, Don't Tell bit, and I really worked it into something good. Well, it was I can't do this anymore because Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a while ago or whatever. And then I genuinely was not excited for this, but I immediately took that joke and just flipped gays in the military to transgenders, and it worked for the times. You know what I'm saying? But most of the shit, even if it is political, I'm still a very autobiographical comedian. It's basically just I'm talking about my life, but through the lens of my unique beliefs or whatever, and how that shit. I Trey said it best, but I'm never gonna go up there and talk about a congressional ruling that happened last week, because I'm wasting my fucking time.
So Trey, you brought up some of the greats. This brings up a question we debated on our show constantly. I'm curious from both of you guys. You take your Mount Rushmore. Who's your Mount Rushmore of comics?
I know my overall number one all time for me personally is definitely Chris Rock. It always has been, because Chris Rock is the dude who literally directly inspired me to want to do stand up one day.
Well, which album?
My dad was a single father, and me and him watched Bigger and Blacker together when it came out, and I was 12 years old, and that's the one that's got the whole daddy gets the big piece of chicken and that's it. Nobody gives a fuck about that whole thing. And my dad just loved that shit. And that was that was the moment where I was like, oh, that seems cool. I'd like to try that, And so he'll never be unseated for me. So he's definitely for sure on there. And then dude, if we're talking all time and you're trying to be objective about it, I don't know how you don't have both Richard Pryor and George Carlin on it. And that only leaves the one left. And I guess as a Southern guy to get some representation up there, I guess I go with Jeff Foxworthy for number four, because scoreboard, buddy, the numbers speak for themselves. He's one of the most successful comics of all time. And, also Jeff Foxworthy is I know who Corey's going to put up there, New York guy, definitely bigger mainstream than Foxworthy, but I feel like Foxworthy is kind of the Southern version of, I'm talking about Corey.
Yeah. Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld. Exactly. Seinfeld. Yeah. Right. I mean, Seinfeld, I think, is he would get voted into that slot.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I'll put Foxworthy on there instead.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, I have Foxworthy on mine as well for those reasons. He was the guy that made me realize that I could do stand up, because I wanted to do comedy when I was a kid, but I was thinking Saturday Night Live or something, because I would watch Carson and Leno and Letterman shit with my dad, and every comedian was from New York, from LA, and then Foxworthy comes along. He looks just like my fucking uncle. He talks just like us, and I'm holy shit. So he's a permanent fixture on there. And then I agree with Trey. It's like you can't. I feel like any further discussions on the Mount Rushmore of comedy, people have to go besides Pryor and Carlin.
Right.
But otherwise, we're only talking about two people. Because, like, you can, and dude, even if a comedian didn't want to put them on there, he would feel guilty for not doing it. So he fucking would, right? But Seinfeld to me is, and he's not even my style. Now, I will say this: when I first started out, I did want to be more like the Southern version of Jerry Seinfeld, like observational humor, which again is Foxworthy. But I liked him. I just love the way he constructs jokes. Like, I love anyone. He's like a Tom Brady type. Like, he's like, I just love the greats who like put in everything to it. I can't not respect it. Obviously love the show. And then, yeah, Foxworthy and man, it's just fucking difficult because like used to those were the only answers. But now, like when we first put those people on the list, dudes like Bill Burr and Louis were like younger. But now Bill Burr, absolutely. He has a face. He has
Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle, obviously.
Like,
right.
Bill Burr, absolutely. When it's all said and done, that's why I'm saying it's not fair because you can't prior.
Right. If it helps, like he himself would never, ever stand for that. And would
of
be
course not.
Like Bill Burr, you know what I mean? Like the way he is.
He's on there, though.
Right. Yeah.
That right there is like, that's why he's fucking, he could be on there. But like I said, I put Jerry Seinfeld on there because I just feel like he's the prototypical. When you think of a comedian, you see the silhouette of Jerry Seinfeld. But
yeah, he's like the logo. He's like the Jerry West of comedy. You know, if there was a logo, an NBA style logo, it'd be a silhouette of Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, but I did. But you know, you can't even call Bill Burr a newer one anymore. It's just that he's not dead. You know, he's still doing comedy. But like he's the one that when he puts out a special, I like drop everything. And this is a must because I don't watch a ton of comedy specials. Like right when they come out, I'll eventually get to them. But like Bill Burr and Cat Williams, if they put some shit out, I'm watching it within 5 minutes of it coming out.
Yeah. So nobody mentioned the ones me and Brandon argue about constantly, right? We both have Carlin. We both have Pryor.
I mean, you have to, like you said.
If
you don't start with Carlin and Pryor, you're not a real comedy fan.
I typically put Chappelle up there. He throws in Robin Williams, but then we have our argument.
That was fair.
We have our argument, and mine is the same reason Trey loves Chris Rock, and I love Chris Rock too. But my Chris Rock is Andrew Dice Clay.
Nice,
love him. I'm gonna age myself, but my brother bought a black box out of Popular Science magazine, and it was the first scrambled comedy show I ever watched, and we watched Dice Man Rules live at Madison Square Garden, and I was probably 10 years old and just fell in love.
I love Andrew Dice Clay first off, but like say what you will about the guy, there's a handful of comedians that ever did what he did in the 80s, like that reached that level. Like Kinison, you know, he kind of had that going on where like they're just trailblazing rock stars, and it's almost do what
that's the argument.
That's the argument, or Kinison,
right there.
Kinison,
I pick Kinison.
Yeah, I go with Clay. Sam Kinison was great, and I loved all the stuff they did. But like, Dice is still around doing it, and I know that Kinison got killed in a car wreck. But like, there for a while, like Kinison, I think even comedians that knew him back then would say it. Like, he was just drunk and just fucked up and not really doing material, you know. But dude, I mean, some of the first comedy specials I watched were like Rodney Dangerfield presents Sam Kinison, and he used to be a preacher, and he's talking about all this Jesus shit, and I hated Jesus too. So like, yeah, man.
Well, no, the same reasons like you guys talked about. Like, I grew up, Kinison was my first. He was the one that got me like, I can do this. And I grew up, I mean, it's part of my bits when I do comedy. I grew up Mormon.
Oh yeah,
oh, shit.
So I have plenty of reason to hate Jesus too. So that's why Kinison was my like the one that I kind of gravitated to.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we want to make sure we get you off, Trey, before you know the 4 o'clock mark here. We know you got some other things going. I want to tell everybody listening out there, the book Round Here and Over Yonder, right there. It's going to be horrible lighting, but is in bookstores. Audiobook. Do you guys read the audiobook?
We sure,
yeah, of course.
Oh, fuck,
yeah, that was very important to us because we also write phonetically sometimes. Like, we want people to say the word how a redneck says it, so you got to spell it different. And then when we get to read the audio book, like, we know people are digesting it exactly how we meant for it to.
Right.
So that's all. Now I got to get the audiobook similar to how we talked about Mel Brooks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Just
so good.
Just for the voices reading it. Fantastic quotes from celebrities here, too. Leslie Jones, Roy Woods, Joel McHale, who's a local up here in Seattle area.
That's right. Yeah.
Know, Mercer
right.
Island. So fantastic. I'm about halfway through. Like I said, I've been popping to the places I've been to first. Very good book. Be sure to check it out. I want to thank you guys for choosing us to come on to. It blew me. Here's the funny thing. So we open our show, every episode we do, we open it with a comedy clip. We just pick one that I found funny, you know, I saw that week or whatever. And about 3 weeks ago, one of yours popped up, Trey, and I was like, I played it for, it was about Texas, and Brandon was just announcing he was moving to Texas. And so it was fitting. And then it was 2 days later, I got a message from your guys' agent that said, you wanted to come on and do this. And I was like, that is ears burning.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah.
So,
universe be that way sometimes. Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, no, man.
Awesome. But yeah, you can get it wherever, pretty much wherever you get books. You can also go to treycrowder.com if you want. And I'll have tour dates on there too, in addition to a link for the book. I slipped it in on you, but thanks, guys.
No, please.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. All right. And like Trey said, he's coming to Spokane. Plug that show, because a lot of our listeners are Washington locals.
I think Spokane is the 12th, and then I'm going to Tacoma for the rest of the weekend after that. It's like the 12th through the 15th of October, like somewhere in there. Wednesday, whatever that Wednesday through Saturday is, I'll be at Spokane and Tacoma back to
where is it?
Spokane Comedy Club and Tacoma Comedy Club. Absolutely.
Yes.
Comedy Club. Okay.
Yeah. So, and you can get those tickets at treycrowder.com or at TacomaComedyClub.com.
Yeah.
So again, guys,
and then before
we
get out, Corey, where can we find you?
Oh, well, my website is CoreyRyanForrester.com. There you will find a link to the book and a link to some other stuff I'm doing. I have a Substack that I'm very active on, putting in, writing essays, videos, bonus podcasts and such. And hey, listen, if you like the way we sound, we also do two podcasts together, the Well Read Podcast and Putting on Airs. Putting on Airs is a little different. We talk about like fancy people and like, you know, a lot of European culture and kings and queens and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
It's silly. It's a good time.
And those are everywhere, right? Apple, Google.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yep.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, guys. Thank you again so much for coming on, man. It was an absolute blast to get to talk with you guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And good luck with the rest of your move, my friend. And enjoy Texas. I know you will.
Oh, I will. The weather is what we're looking for. My wife's always cold. In fact, right now we're in Texas. She's still wearing a hoodie. So.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.